May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
One day many years ago when I lived in Kenya, my next door neighbor was possessed by a demon. And that's what I was told. She was the niece of a fellow teacher, and she was normally this very friendly and calm person. But that day she was out of her mind. She was deranged. A friend went over to cast out the demon, and many of us were frightened. And I can certainly relate to the responses of the synagogue congregation that Mark describes in the gospel reading. I felt shaken. I was questioning. Like them, I wondered, what is this? My young mind didn't believe in demonic possession, and I see now that I was missing the point, which was something simpler. The point that all of us have moments where we are taken over by something and we need help to be set free. It could be a bout of shame, a mean-spirited mood, addictions, fits of self-criticism, heavy-hearted days that weigh us down and deplete our life force. The list of human struggles is long. Sometimes these struggles take up residence in us, possess us almost, and it's hard to remember that we ever felt any other way. There's no flow. This experience of being stuck in a difficult state of emotional distress is so common for human beings that the writer of Mark puts an extreme example of it right there in chapter 1. This poor, afflicted man in the synagogue with the unclean spirit, racked with misery. Notice that the energy of Jesus is like a magnet that draws out the affliction. You'll see that it's the unclean spirit that makes the first move in this story, in this conversation with Jesus. Jesus' very presence gets its attention, and the spirit reveals itself. It's almost like it wants to go ahead and get caught. The Spirit is basically saying, here, Jesus, look at me. What are you going to do about me? I know who you are. Maybe the Spirit feels trapped too, rattling around in that poor man's body. Even the most tortured parts of us are looking just to be set free. Our shame shuts us down to protect us from more hurt. Our addictions numb the pain. Our gossip distracts from a sense of our own shortcomings. Our anxieties jack us up on high alert so that we can try and control what is happening next. All these efforts to try and find some relief, some freedom, on and on and on, but it doesn't work. We just get more entrenched in those habits, and our unhealed wounds keep aching and festering, prompting us to employ our misguided strategies over and over again. This is something that happens to human beings often. In the company of Christ, space is made. Conversation starts. Jesus, I'm struggling. What are you going to do with me? Help me. We're no longer alone. We're praying. To get back into Christ's presence, we don't have to get to a different place than the one we're in. We're always in the presence of Christ. Healing is at hand. It's just that when we are flooded by the intensity of some afflictive habit or mood, the conviction of our faith is crowded out and an apathetic forgetting sets in. We only have to remember at those times. It's hard, but it's a simple maneuver. To remember. Let's break that word down. Remember. To call back in the health that resides in us. To rally the despair-fighting members of our psychological inner worlds. The parts that know, that remember health and wellness. Sort of like a vaccine organizing infection-fighting cells in our body chemistry. What is dormant is awakened, resurrected, if you will. We remember, yes, there can be healing. even if we've never experienced healing before, it resides in us, in our DNA, deep in our bones. We can know there was something before this, this stuckness. It's important to note that healing doesn't always look like we want it to, though. It's not always what we expect. Life moves forward in time, so even when we remember the past, we must also be open to a different future that's unfolding. Sometimes there's still considerable discomfort in the present, but healing restarts transformation. It delivers us from being trapped in an oppressive condition, because healing is infused, soaked with connection. Healing restores flow. God's healing power can connect with us in so many different forms. Maybe you say a prayer and you feel strangely tended. The energy shifts. Maybe there's a sense of Jesus or Mary or some other sacredness accompanying you, might wash over you. Or maybe it's another human being, a friend who reaches out, a physician who treats you, a sponsor, a teacher. Or maybe it's the holy in nature, an eagle flying over the sea, a moment of stillness in the forest that opens up something deep within you, and somehow you remember, oh yes, there's more. All of this around me, holding me. Or maybe it's the Christ in you that will bring healing. This is one of the most common and astonishing ways that Jesus' presence is revealed. And it's always available to us in our bodies, in the flesh, in your flesh. God abiding in you as your redeemed self. This is the version of you that can have compassion on your own self. This is you refracting the healing light of God through the prism of your own soul onto your suffering. In all of these, a little preposition is added to the experience. With. You're now with. A presence with you. That's communion. With. Being with. So, when you're stuck, call out for the help you need. Seek accompaniment, that great agent of healing. Pray, reach out to someone and share what ails you. Reach into yourself with love and compassion. Affirm the courage of your struggle. Christ is everywhere, all the time. Open yourself to the freshness of perspective that comes with remembering that you are not, in fact, alone. There is always Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen.
Amen.